I am so happy that you can be with us today as we continue to teach on Christ in Session. This is a special series that people from various groups I've invited to be a part of because I think it's important for the church. And we don't record a lot of these shepherd group meetings we have together. But today we are, and we have the previous of this Christ in Session series. Some of the recordings have been interesting for me to work and edit with, but God has been good. We've already studied on the problem, shadow or substance. Second of all, preparation, our preparation and Christ, his departure and how he prepared the disciples for the purpose of God's kingdom. The program, how it operates, how the church should operate. And we talked a lot in our last lesson about that and how each and every one of us have something very important to share with the body of Christ. And that God is anointing us for a purpose under heaven, and we need to get with God's plan. We need to understand what he is doing. We talked a lot about 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 12, and about to another is given this, and to another is given that. The scripture reads, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another of a different kind faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, of a different kind, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the same selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body one body, be many, are one body, so also is Christ. We talked about the unity and yet diversity of the body. At times I've talked to you about praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit, and sometimes there's a special giftedness that is given, an anointing, and especially a pastor should have it, in being able to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As a lot of people in the body of Christ and in the charismatic movement have gotten frustrated as they've just gone to the altars, yelling, screaming, shouting into one another's ears, and hoping emotionally to, drill it up so that somebody could talk in tongues. And I've talked to you so many times, and we demonstrate here at Covenant Grace that there are those who we have to pray for people. We don't spend a lot of time with them. And so many times, so easily when they're prepared and their hearts are ready, the gift of God just flows. And it is part of God's enabling power, just as there is wisdom in the gifts of the Spirit that are spoken of here and are using them as part of God's program in the church. Just as important as those gifts of the Spirit are, so is the fivefold ministry, etc. And we've talked about that as well when we considered the program. Now today we want to talk about progress and the church progressing. In my experience, I have found that most churches or groups usually emphasize only one of the three aspects of the whole Christ that we have discussed in the past few weeks. This often results in utter neglect. Some churches are great at the power gifts and honoring God in that kind of realm. Some are great at administration and a great organization. But sometimes there's something missing or elements, and we're not sharing and we're not helping one another in the body of Christ to take hold of those things. And sometimes, even in disdain, we see so many people walking in different operations and not really even understanding what they're doing. It's an error. It's a neglect. It's not rightly dividing the word of truth and understanding the work that the Lord is wanting us to do. First, we have like those who are the holiness love group. They say, we believe in personal holiness. We believe in the fruit of the Spirit. We spend our time cultivating love, joy, and peace. Amen. We are the truly sanctified or set apart ones. Want to ask, where is the rest of it? When I consider that in the body of Christ and, okay, where's the rest of it? It's missing, or they're unaware of it. They don't understand it, that they think they've got everything they have need of. But yet, as I travel and I've been to many churches, I recognize that we don't always all have it. Okay? But we need to cultivate it and come together and to learn from one another, growing in the grace and the knowledge of God. We need to learn to share with one another. And the body of Christ doesn't do it enough. And there are some groups that are cultic and are ingrained with the thought that, hey, we are the church. And they don't say it specifically to those around about them in a way outside the body of Christ. But within their church, hey, we're it. We've got it all. You know, we are God's preference. But in that mentality, you're just opening it up yourself for disaster. Because there's where you can see lives that don't have the character of Christ. There you can see things done out of order. There you can see wrong teaching in God's word. Because there's an exclusivity to such a degree that you destroy the work of God. And you actually will allow for certain things in your group that you really wouldn't allow. Oh, but they're part of your group, so it's okay. You've got to be aware of that kind of mentality. It's like people can be sanctified, set apart to God and holy, just because they're in your group, even if they made some mistakes, as long as they stay with us. That kind of mentality will always lead to destruction. Then there is the power group. Here we have the declaration, and I love the gifts of the Spirit, you know I do. We believe in the gifts and the power of the Holy Ghost. We cast out demons. We have divine healing. Come join with us. We have the power of God. Those churches out there, they're dead. This group usually has an abundance of multi-directed energy. These gift-oriented ones are so caught up with the manifestations of the Spirit that they neglect the love and the control that must accompany the power aspect of the whole Christ and how things work together for good to those who trust God and are called according to His purposes. They don't see the whole picture. They get caught up in the moment. And they don't rightly divide what's going on. And they don't share appropriately. And they should be sharing with others the gifts that God has given to give revelation and strength to the whole body of Christ. Then the third type of gathering is made up of those who put their emphasis on church government, and the New Testament church pattern. We must call them the divine order group. Okay, let's call them the divine order group. Here we usually find an overabundance of deacons, elders. They're elders to the teeth. Prophets, all sorts of things. And this falls short of the true character of what God wants to do in the other two operations of God's work in His church because they're fully absorbed in what they are, quote, doing, and they're so organized, so perpetually and perfectly put in order. You know, I like the Episcopal Church, but the Episcopal Church without the work of the Spirit and understanding love and the power of God's ministry and holiness is useless. Amen. The holiness group, the power group, and this third group, the divine order group. They all, when you start looking at these groups, and this is a big generalization, tend to bring in what most we see in the Christian church. And in looking at it, we see how there are bits and pieces that we miss and a need from one another, and we can learn from one another. The greatest fault in all of these single-track situations, if you just stick to that group and don't go out of your, realm of comfortability, being comfortable, is that you think you have it all, or at least that he has the best and most important truth, that person who is, quote, in that group. And they're so reclined to just be there and not stretch themselves out and encourage and strengthen the whole body of Christ. Often this can cause alienation and an outward expression of jealousy and enmity between the groups. And I just want, there are a couple ministers here who have been from other churches that are here with us at CGMF now. Baptist, a couple different ones filled with the baptism of the Spirit. You've been in churches. You've been in places where you've seen this. Their jealousy, their enmity, their separation, and how they don't see it clearly that this is a relationship with Jesus Christ we're talking about, and that we're all in this together, and that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, and He has sent His comforter to us to share with us and help us to be the children of God. And it is that relationship in showing forth the character of Christ that shows forth that we've been with Jesus and that we are Christians. What I see the Lord Jesus doing in this hour is he's trying to bring forth the body of Christ together to better understand and to see what's at work and how important it is that we can encourage one another as it is the day to be vigilant and teaching and preaching and walking in the anointing of God and helping people to see Jesus clearly. We need the whole Christ. Hey, suppose a man comes to your group saying, "Sir, I have cancer," or "My mind is blown with drugs," or "I'm an alcoholic." The list can be endless. Or a woman may knock at your door and say, "I need help. I am a prostitute," or "My home is disintegrating," or "Loneliness is driving me to suicide." "Sir," or "Young lady, what is the answer to my need?" If the placard above your place of ministry reads, "Only love," you can offer that seeking person an abundance of love. You can wrap him or her in it and meet the needs in that area. But there is more. There may be a need for deliverance from bondage and healing of physical sickness. Will you have that to say? Or will you have to say, I should say, I'm sorry, I don't minister in that way or capacity. You'll have to go to another church for that. What if that same man or woman happens to come into a group which has the power aspect of the gifts? That needy person may get the necessary deliverance and healing, and that is fine. But what about the necessary understanding of love and submission and right relationship one to another in the body of Christ? If guidance in these two areas is lacking, we can again see not the fullness of Jesus being portrayed. One-sided groups try to use gimmicks and different other things to substitute for what the whole body of Christ has. Let's not use a substitute. Let's not use a gimmick. We are in the age of the seeker-friendly church. And that's nice to be able to make churches available to people and to reach out. But remember, if they're not going to be able to come to Christ, if they're not going to be able to know the Lord, if they're not going to be put in a position where they're going to be able to see the fullness of God in their life, what good is them coming to church and sitting in your pew or here at CGMF? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Amen? It's getting quiet here. Are you beginning to see, God's work and his principles at work? First, God has a program here. He's calling for every believer to be involved, each and every one of us. None of us can sit along the sidelines and not be participants. We are not spectators in the kingdom of God. And I don't need spectators in this church. I know we've got a few. People just come, they just do their thing, they sit down, and, I have to respect that. And yet, my heart yearns for them to know the depth of Christ's love. But this is not a program of non-involvement that we have in the body of Christ. Second of all, we must present the three aspects of the whole Christ in order to have an effective ministry. We need the love and the holiness. Amen. The character of God flowing. We need the power of God and the grace of God and the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And we need to have order in the church and understanding how we best can serve one another. For too many years, we have tried to carry out our individual responsibilities, sitting in a pew, looking at the back of somebody's head. Sometimes not understanding what's going on, but just self-indulging in my own spiritual identity. Not recognizing the whole work of God. We need to look at each other in the eye, share our experiences, and get to know the fellow members and particulars of our fellowship and others. And to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and extend our hand of love and fellowship. We must be willing to assume our share of the task, willing to accept a certain placement, a certain anointing or gift that God has for us to share, and to function as the whole body of Christ. The body is not one member, but many. In order to carry out our part, we must consider this. One, the need to see that God wants to work into us love, joy, peace, patience, and all the attributes of his character into our lives. God wants love, joy, peace, patience, and all the attributes of his character in our lives. That's how people will know you've been with Jesus. I don't care if you're baptized. I don't care if you've accepted Christ. I don't care if you have got all the P's and Q's of what, quote, it means to be a member of a church. If Christ is not in you, the hope of glory, and the work of the Holy Spirit is not at work, forget it. There's going to be nothing eternal that's going to really be worth anything there. Second of all, the need to know that he longs for the opportunity to give his gifts as he knows they will be best used is so much important. Not what I want, but what's the job he wants for me to do? These gifts are necessary for restoring wholeness to the lost and dying generation we live in. We need to use all that's available to us in the whole Christ to be able to see the demonstration of God's love and God's power and his work so that people can see Jesus. We've talked about the whole Christ before, and I'm going to share it with you again here, right now. A little summary again. The character, Galatians 5, 21 and 22. Power, the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And authority, Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. These are 23 aspects of the resurrected Christ that we need to share as being his believers here on the earth. So one, we need to show forth the attributes of his character. Two, we need to take the opportunity we have to share the giftings of God in the wholeness of Christ to this dying generation. And third, the need to have our eyes open to recognize the importance of authority and leadership in our midst. We need apostles, prophets, and teachers sent of God. We need evangelists who are anointed to pull in the nets. We need one another, and we need the fivefold ministry to operate in accordance to God's word. And we need to respect the ministry. A lot of people don't have respect for the ministry. And I don't always blame the people for that, because there's been a lot of ministers, a lot of people that have fallen. And yet, we all have to give an account to the Lord. And we can't use those ministers or folks as excuses for our own life not to be up to God's standard of living. Because he has given us all that we have need of for life and godliness, the scripture says. And through the power of his Holy Spirit, there's nothing that you can't do that he can't give you the capability to be able to see through in your life. Amen. Using what you have and the tools at your disposal. As we move from spectator to participant, brothers and sisters in Christ, we will be impressed with a desire to seek God for where he wants us and what he wants us to do in bringing forth the body of Christ in our lives. Too often, we get fat on the word. We worship God. We get involved in the church. But we're missing it because Christ in us isn't being able to come forth and be able to share in his majesty and the manifestation of his glory. But if we will allow him to, we will see the Holy Spirit administer in the lives around about us, and we will have on the mind of Christ. And with his love, joy, and peace being evidenced in our lives, and the power of God's anointing, and our respecting and working together in submission under God's purposes in his church, and the ministry teams that God has given us, we will see accountability and grace in a supernatural way. We will see accountability and grace in a supernatural way. No one need be afraid of biblical government if God is in control. There is a tendency to be suspicious and rebellious once one has touched the power of God. Oh, you know, the ministry's missing it, this and that, or whatever. No. God's Spirit respects what's being done in the church, but can teach and tweak and minister in the church. And don't get your head so far in the sky that you forget that you're living down here. You're living down here with the rest of us. We're all in this together, folks. He is bringing the church divine apostolic leadership, prophetic word, and government in this day and hour. Let's remember that God wants to express through both men and women the workings of his Spirit and be an operation that is used of God for his glory. Knock on the door of our soul should be, Lord, make me what you want me to be. Help me to no longer be a spectator, but a true participant in the work of your progress and purpose in the church. Christ wants to work within us in the body in a supernatural way. He wants to show forth his power. We are the bride of Christ. And that bride is precious to him. I would like to suggest that when you use the expression of the body of Christ and consider it, you do not get heavenly minded. This title has to do with the earth. We are in this context talking about an earthly relationship with flesh and blood. People who go about making up the body of Christ. The scene of action is on the earth, where we, you and me, are participants in God's order. And to progress in the power of God, we need to recognize that. Recognize the feet of clay which you have, and that these feet are planted in a sin-filled, curse-ridden earth in which we are living and need to show forth the glory of God. People need deliverance. People need healing. People need sin discarded from their lives and victory in their relationships. And we offer them the opportunity to overcome those malignant forces of hell. In this study, we are limiting our consideration to the body of Christ right now. That divinely ordained, active, and operating expression of the whole Christ. Once we catch a glimpse of what Jesus has in mind, during that upper room discussion with his disciples, we can never be the same again. Sometimes it happens within the inside that we begin to digress and consider what has been in the past. But God wants you alive in the now. He wants you with a fresh attitude, fresh relationship with him and with the body of Christ, and seeing the fruit of the Spirit in action and the purposes of God in your life. The body is tended to be the most unified entity in the whole world. But do we see that? Jesus' prayer was that they all might be one. And we have tried to put our own little definitions on that to try to be palatable to where we are in our pedigree of faith or our preference of religion. But we need to know that Jesus Christ wants his church to be in relationship and that he wants it to be unified and it shows forth his glory. At its core, the body of Christ is completely unified. It is only out on the periphery where we find the divided, split, segmented portions man has caused by their own mentality and rebellion from his purpose. The body was never meant to be like this at all. God has assigned us to be ministers in Christ, giving gifts and functioning in accordance to his word. Look with me, if you will, to Ephesians 4:11-13. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The ministry should be about God's purpose in seeing us come to what? A place where we understand the unity and the power of God, till we come together in unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, measuring ourselves not up to our own standards, but to the fullness of Christ, the whole Christ. Amen? But ministers, pastors, teachers, shepherd leaders in this group, are we doing that? Are we helping the saints to accomplish that? Are we remembering that? Or are we just teaching our little preferences and our little ideas and not allowing people to see the expression of God in their lives? Isn't it strange how we can read a certain portion of Scripture with only one thought in mind, then suddenly new truth is revealed? We wonder how we could have been so blind. One such verse that suddenly took on truth that revolutionized my thinking one day was Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. There was that time when I responded to these words in this way, Lord, I don't come to do my will, I come to do your will. I submit, Lord. But the Lord answered my acknowledgement of submission with these words, you are reading this verse wrong. Bob, you're reading these words wrong. Pat, you're reading this word wrong. Debbie, you're reading this word wrong. The emphasis here is not on that. It's on the verb do. I did. Look at that word, do. And what a difference it's made. I came to do, it says. What is a body but for it to do something? Wasn't that the purpose for which Jesus came in a physical body? To do the will of his Father. Amen? We need to be about his business and plainly serve him in grace and truth. Look with me at Luke 4, 16 through 21, if you will. You ready? Luke 4, 16 through 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He has anointed me to preach the gospel and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." The work of the Father was that the Son would be able to come and share with us deliverance in the life and hope for the future through the Anointed One. And the Anointed One has left us the comfort of the Holy Spirit and has not left us alone and has not left us to just be on our own power and strength trying to get things done. But he's anointed us through the Holy Spirit. Just as the Spirit anointed Jesus, the Spirit of God anoints us today. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, the scripture says that as he was baptized, the Holy Spirit as a dove came upon him. There was an anointing that came upon him at that point. God desires the church to do the work of Jesus. It is our privilege and responsibility to take up that task and point where Jesus left, or at that point that Jesus left, and to say, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." John 20, verse 21. I'm about my Father's business. I challenge you. I challenge me. Let's reach out to the brokenhearted. Let's reach out to those who need deliverance. Let's reach out to those who are needing to recover their sight. Let's reach out to those who have cancer. Let's reach out to those who need help today and be able to minister them through the power of Jesus Christ. Many of the teachings of Paul to the early churches were vitally related to the concept of the body of Christ. This was something new to that generation, and they found it exciting. Every time Paul talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, he does so in relation to the body of Christ and its many membered functions. Three portions from Paul's letters to the churches demonstrates this. The New Testament Christians were learning what it meant to operate as members of the body of Christ. Salvation, as they understood it, was something they possessed and enjoyed together. 1. Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. The body Paul is talking about here in Romans 12 is your physical body, the one you are living in, present in the Lord. You may say, "Well, the Lord doesn't need my body. He just wants my heart." That's not what Paul's saying. He wants it all. The Lord wants your body so that he may fill it with the power and the presence of his Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then you will be the container that God wants to fill, and you can go forth and pour out of his heart to others. Many of us have been learning what it means to be a container in our lives in various lessons that we've been teaching of late. Well, there's something neat about a container that can be filled. It can pour out something. But if you're not filled with the Spirit, you have no ability to pour out anything. If you have no knowledge of who Jesus is, you have no ability to pour out anything. If you don't have any understanding of what it means to have that peace that passes all understanding, you're not able to pour that out to anybody. I want to be able to pour out God's love to those who have need. My spirit must yield to God. I must be aware of his spirit and allow him to have his way. I must offer my body unto him as an instrument to be used. God is able to use us if we give him the opportunity and if we allow him to do so, even in the most impossible of circumstances. When the going gets tough, God gets going. When the going gets tough, God gets going if we let him. Second of all, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. 1 Corinthians 11:29 and also 12:27. These words help me in seeing the whole body of Christ. There was a time when I took communion and it didn't mean much to me. I would try to discern the Lord's body and I would say, "Oh Lord, I see you hanging on that tree for me." One day, God told me something powerful. That you're not just going through the motions. And that the body of Christ is something from the heavenly realm. And discerning the body of the Lord, does not belong to the heavenly realm. It belongs to you and I. It is earthly and practical. And understanding the body of Christ and discerning it is a privilege in our generation. Amen. We need to understand the body of Christ. There's been so much debate upon communion. And I believe that in communion, it's more than just going through the process, that his real divine presence is there in communion, in the body and the blood. As we share of whether grape juice or wine or bread, etc. But to understand the body of Christ and what the Lord's trying to do through it is so important. I don't see today Methodists. I don't see today Episcopalians. I don't see today Pentecostals. I don't see black and yellow or problems or suffering or such. I see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to show forth his love and extend that love to the body of Christ and bear witness of his love with the church. He's provided for all things for us. We need to tap into it. We don't need to be looking at one another as separated groups in one sense or the other. But as a people coming together as the Lord's body under the banner of Jesus Christ. Segregation was an ugly thing in the 70s. An ugly thing in the 60s. It was an ugly thing in the 50s. And segregation is something that America is haunted by in many ways. Yet, even in the midst of that, God tried to work through his body. But the more and more we come together and recognize that we can be so many and so diverse, and the Lord use us, it is such a precious thing. But we have to recognize that we have something to share with one another. And it's part of God's progressive program and the progress we need to make in the body of Christ. We need to get out of the mentality that I'm a Baptist. Get out of the mentality that I'm a Pentecostal. Get out of the mentality that I'm just charismatic. Get out of the mentality that I'm Episcopalian. I'm part of the church. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. And I have something to share with my brothers and sisters. Amen. Third thing that Paul has shown us. Okay? First of all, presenting your bodies as living sacrifice. Second of all, that hey, we don't want to eat and drink unworthily. We need to discern the Lord's body as it is and to share with one another. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6 and verse 14. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. For the body is not one member, but many. The body of Christ on the earth is many. Here again is stressed the many-membered body and the unity in its operation. We are told that by one Spirit we are all given our particular piece of equipment to enable us to fit into the body that is to be operational upon the earth, not dysfunctional on the earth. Everyone in our physical body has been placed there for a purpose, and each member has its peculiar function, its peculiar function to fulfill. Each part is necessary for maximum operation. This principle also applies to the body of Christ, and each part has been fitted to operate within the whole, that we might make up that one body on the earth. As that one body comes together, it is to carry on the work that Jesus initiated on the earth. Needs can be met when the whole Christ comes together. I cannot do it alone. You can't do it alone. Some have tried. Many have failed. But it's not God's fault. And he has a plan. And his plan is progress and working through getting rid of the mentality that it's just me, myself, and I. It's just my club, my church. And breaking that and letting us know that we are working together. We are encouraging one another. We're helping equip one another. And we're in it together. Lord Jesus, fit me into the body so that it may function accordingly. Help me, Lord, to honor you through the work of your Spirit. Let Christ in session be enabled by our carrying out God's business he has constituted. God wants his church to progress. He doesn't want it to hide behind the walls of its own building. He doesn't want it to hide behind the walls of its own preferential faith. He doesn't want it to hide behind its comfortable zones of operation. He wants it expanded, experiencing his work, and progressing in power, and coming together, and showing forth the wholeness of God, and seeing the work of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for what you are doing in our hearts and lives right now. Lord, help us to see the whole body of Christ. Take away that inhibiting nature within me that has kept me from sharing and caring with my brothers and sisters, not allowing me to express myself and to learn from my brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to have an understanding heart and a spirit that properly discerns the Lord's body, and to know that we can progress in the grace of God and to come out of our shells and to see the work of the Lord and see the unity that God has so that we can be empowered in this hour through the work of the Holy Spirit and be ignited by God's love to reach this generation with Bible salvation, to touch the lives of many, and to see Jesus shared. Lord, touch and graciously help us today here at Covenant of Grace in the body of Christ to be partners together in the eternal purpose of the Lord, and that the work here on the earth that you have us to do, we would lo go about and do. Hallelujah. Amen. And let us pray the Father's prayer that the Son gave unto us, Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into evil, but deliver us, Lord, to thy glory, to thy praise. Amen. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it's all about, folks. Amen. Thank you so much for being here with us in this group today, and learning more about Christ in session.